Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Only on Sports Radio 92.7 FM WFNZ.
Straight fire.
This is the Wes and Walker Show.
Even the crowd knows what's coming next.
How are we feeling, Panthers fans, after a late night in which the Panthers ended up being involved? It's Wes and Walker, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Wes, we got a pick to recap in Carolina.
We definitely do. Got a little bit of a surprise at the end of the draft last night.
We knew it was possible. We didn't think it was probable, but we knew there was a chance. And as soon as I saw the transition from the Bills graphic, the 5 seconds before they showed the next team, I thought, this could be Carolina. They could be moving up one spot to secure their guy. And they end up getting him. Xavier Leggett. Goodell, by the way. Xavier Leggett. Not Leggett.
Xavier Leggett.
The wide receiver out of South Carolina that met with the Panthers, not one, not two, but about five times, told people last week on a podcast that the Panthers promised him, if he was there at 33, that he was going to be the selection. Dave Canales tried to walk it back. Well, I tell everybody that. I tell all sorts of prospects that. It ended up being Leggett as the pick in the first round. So there's a couple of questions we need to ask the text line, and then we talk about amongst ourselves getting off the bus. The two questions are, do you like Leggett as the pick? Straight up, classic radio fodder. Do you like the Panthers pick at number 32? And do you like the trade up to get him? With that, let's pull up to the scene. I don't want to waste any more time. It's draft day. We got a pick to recap. Open up the doors, Fitty. Let's get off the bus.
We look good getting off the bus.
I got something to say.
Damn! Kick it! I can feel
it. What's Wes's take on the Panthers getting Leggett at 32 overall, trading up into the first round? Wes, let's hear it. What you got for us?
The thing that was interesting about it is that you get so conditioned by mock drafts, and you've seen so many different things, and I try not to be that way because you saw it mocked as low as in the 50s, 60s, and some mock drafts leading up to this. So when the Panthers went up there to go and get them, listen, man, I'm one that we all know on this show that I like to be decisive, but you know, with the NFL draft, it is a crapshoot with every prospect. And so you cannot like a guy and they turn into a stud and vice versa. And so that's the thing with the Panthers. I think this guy has a ton of upside. The 4.39 speed at 220 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of what you like in a player. You look at him, he's got that T.O.-ish build, muscles just busting out of the jersey. But there's a lot to like with Leggett, but like with any prospect, you know, you read some of the red flags, and they talked about how, you know, it's generally looked at as a red flag for a guy to pop for only 1 year like he did this past season at South Carolina. So there are some things to look for. They talked about the route running as well. And so for the Panthers, I think that the one thing that I do give him as far as from a credibility standpoint is Dave Canales' track record with quarterbacks and wide receivers. And so for Canales to value him and really want him the way that he did, I think that lets you know that there's something there. So I think it was a good pick for the Panthers in theory, and we'll see if it pans out.
Brian text in on the FanDuel text line. Three Kings, what's good? Can I get a hell yeah for the Canes and Leggett? Hell yeah!
Hell yeah, baby. Kane gang all day.
Heat fan writes in, let's go. They got their guy, and I'm here for it. Here are a couple of questions that we're going to have to answer, though. 704 says, what's the point of trading one spot up? And NASCAR Brad writes in, unless they got word that the Bills were about to draft Xavier Leggett, then otherwise, that trade makes no sense to me. Here's Dan Morgan, after the draft pick last night, telling you one of the reasons they traded up just that one spot.
The fifth-year option, definitely important. I think that was obviously a big reason, you know, to trade up into the first round. You know, besides the player, you know, we loved Xavier. Everything he bought, not only as a person, but as a player, like his ability to attack the ball when it's in the air, his ability to run with the catch. He's just big. He's strong. He's physical. I think he has a lot of upside. So we wanted to take that opportunity to go get our guy.
All right.
And that's what we felt.
Sorry. When you look at the...
Wes, not a fan of the audio feed at Bank of America Stadium. And it sounds like the windows are rolled down. He tells you the value of the fifth-year option. That's one of the reasons as to why they traded up. So you give up 59 spots in order to go land a fifth-year option on Leggett, because that trade to go up and get him, the Carolina Panthers gave up 33 and 141 in the fifth round in exchange for 32 and pick number 200. So what essentially you did was you gave up 59 spots with your fifth round pick in order to go land the fifth year option on Leggett. You have the cost effective flexibility now if your guy hits. And if Leggett doesn't hit, I'm not going to be furious about losing those 59 spots. It's not great practice. I don't love it. I'm not sitting here telling you I want to do this with every single draft selection that they love. But if you do love Xavier Leggett and the price is 59 spots, okay. If he ends up missing, it's not like that's going to be a backbreaking move for this franchise, because they moved up in order to have that cost-effective flexibility. That's the one reason they traded up, and I find that to be a decent enough reason. I get the way of thinking there. Here's the other reason they traded up, Wes. Because it was the worst-kept not-so-secret of the NFL draft. At 33. Not even so early.
Yeah.
You can't be that far back from the first overall selection and have and be that transparent about who you love, not like who you love. Think about all the surprising picks we saw last night. Michael Penix? Kirk Cousins didn't even know. But Atlanta at least kept it under wraps and got their guy. Granted, probably could have gotten him a few spots later if they wanted to trade back, but it was a secret. Your boys, San Francisco. Didn't see a lot of Ricky Pearsall mocked to San Fran, even if we thought receiver was certainly a possibility, especially with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk rumors ramping up out there. I was a little surprised to see Pearsall was the wide receiver that they selected.
I was as well.
Loved the pick, but that was a secret. Jets led people astray purposefully by saying they had interest in Brock Bowers, but he was right there, and they never had interest in Brock Bowers. They ran to the podium to go draft Olu. Carolina, they need to learn from this a little bit. Just a little bit. It's the finer details leading up to the draft as to what I might question here. And I argued it was a near certainty as long as he was there that he was going to be selected. I know people try to talk about smoke screens, and people do lie to players about promising them they're going to be the selection. Cool. Carolina has to do a better job of keeping this thing close to the vest so you're not so paranoid about someone jumping you and having to move up just one spot. But hopefully they learn from it. They get their guy anyway. 59 spot damage done, and we can move on. But man, this thing was not a well-kept secret whatsoever.
Well, that was the thing about it when he said it, and that's why I kind of scoffed at it, because I was like, I kind of sided with Canales and saying that I'm sure he probably does tell that, because organizations do normally keep things so close to the vest that you would wonder why on earth would they trade? You know what I'm saying? And so, or why on earth would they say who they're going to pick, and for a prospect to come out and say, well, they told me, man, it's a definite thing. Like, you might hear some of that an hour before the draft with the top 2 to 3 guys where they say, listen, his camp, because I know that came out about Marvin Harrison a little bit before the draft.
Yeah.
And it was like the Cardinals told him they're going to take him. And so for the Panthers, I was just like, man, because that's a lot of spots to wait.
Yes.
To tell a guy, yeah, if you're there, we're going to pick you.
Exactly.
And we know how NFL teams do, unlike the stupid-ass Buffalo Bills who sat up there and traded away a pick knowing the Chiefs wanted a receiver, and they go up and get the fastest guy in the draft. I let out a loud expletive in my house that happened, because that was so stupid of them to do that.
It seems like such a mistake for them.
But
they let the team that beats them every year in the AFC playoff race to go get the fastest guy to ever run the combine. Context does matter. I know that trading back can generally be a good idea. They got a decent haul for moving a few spots back. But not Kansas City and Xavier Worthy.
How many draft stories do you hear of teams saying that they traded up or would not trade with certain teams because they did not want a rival to be able to get the player they wanted? That's why I was just baffled by it.
You know the last time Kansas City traded up and took Buffalo's selection?
They took Patty Mahomes. So.
They took the best quarterback possibly of all time.
Yeah.
Pretty good sign for Xavier Worthy and the Kansas City Chiefs. I did want to play this one soundbite before we move on. Because, Wes, I love what I'm hearing from Dave Canales. As far as just his ability to communicate to the people as to what you can expect from this offense and what you can expect from him. The vision. Here is Dave Canales last night on watching the film on Xavier Leggett and telling you what he liked about him.
First of all, just the athletic traits, right? Just like height, weight, speed, you know, 6'1", 221, 439, you know, really balanced hands. That's a pretty good start. You know, then you look at the versatile ways that the Gamecocks were able to use him out of the backfield. Jet sweeps, short crossers, perimeter screens, down the field posts. There really isn't much else we do with receivers. He's done it all, you know, and in the past, you know, coaches that I've been with have said, you know, how quickly can you make a cut up of a player that does all the things you need? That's how you can really, you know, gravitate towards guys, whether it's a quarterback making all the throws that you need to see, whether it's a receiver running the different routes, you know. And does he need polish? Absolutely. But it was just to be able to see that on film gives you a lot of confidence, and it really helps me envision, you know, him fitting into our offense.
I love that answer. You have a vision. You're telling me specific information as to how you plan on using him, why you came to this decision over a Ladd McConkey, over not specifically these other receivers, but this is why you drafted him, because you envision what you want with a guy that can run the route tree that you plan to implement in your offense, which is funny. We ignore that during the pre-draft process, right? We want to know about the complete route tree, which makes sense. It's great to have all this versatility. Pearsall has that. McConkey has that. They're very good at this with the receivers that were going to be taken around where Carolina was selecting at the beginning of the second round. But what Dave Canales tells you is he can do this and this and this, and that's about what we do. And if he does that better than everybody else, and he is a unique wide receiver with the rest of this class in the sense that in that area, there wasn't anybody that had that athletic profile. And if he can run the routes that we're going to ask him to run, I'm good with it, man. Perfect answer, in my opinion, from Dave Canales.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what a great coach does. He knows the strength of his personnel. And so I'm sure they're going to coach him up to try to get him to be that complete receiver that can run all of the route tree. But I know coming in early, to best take advantage of his skill set, they're going to do the things that he's strong at and the things that will help this offense the most. And Walker, for the most part, the average fan isn't going to be able to tell if he can run the full route tree or not. If they see him out there making big catches and big plays, they're not going to care how many routes he can run in the tree. It's how does he fit into the offense. And that's what this league is all about, is finding guys that fit your offense and can make you dynamic.
I have an interesting comparison, a Panthers comparison, on the other side of the break that I don't think people have been talking about enough. We also have a second edition of the Draft Day Dubs. Lots to get to on Wes and Walker Sports Radio, 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Our newest Carolina Panther set to speak to media at 12:30, just 10 minutes from now. We'll have all of that audio for you later on in the show. We'll cut them up. Shroppy hard at work. I believe it's Shroppy back there, along with the other producers. Fitty going to play it in the live wire. We'll tell you what's happening live as well. Xavier Leggett again set to speak to media in just 10 minutes after he got selected 32nd overall last night with the Panthers trading up to get him. It's Wes and Walker Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. We'll get to the Draft Day Dubs in just a moment, but we have some text to get to on the FanDuel text line. 5 for 12 says, obviously, Brandon Bean told Dan they were trading out of the first round, and he gave Dan Morgan first dibs. I think that's plausible.
Yeah, could have been. Their previous relationship and the way they feel about Dan, that could have been something that happened.
Makes total sense to me, because I know I saw some people talking about this as well. Buffalo held a visit with Leggett. You have to wonder. I'm sure there was legit interest, because Buffalo needs a wide receiver. So I'm sure they were killing two birds with one stone. They say, yeah, we're going to meet with him. He's a wide receiver projected to go in the range that we pick. But also we know one team behind us really wants him. And if we want to trade out, collect some assets, then Carolina is the first team we'll call. And they'll get so paranoid that they want to move up and get him. I'm sure that was the thought process from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And it was a shrewd process from Brandon Bean, who continues, even with a spotty draft history, certainly recently, Brandon Bean continues to do a pretty good job of keeping.
Bills fans weren't happy with him last night.
Yeah, they wanted him to select somebody. And Xavier Worthy, you're right. The Xavier Worthy thing was weird. You can't. Yeah, it doesn't feel like you can do that with Kansas City.
They also said that they will have opportunity. They were saying they'll have a day to try to make some trades for T. Higgins or they were talking about Ayuk at the time, even though they said that Debo is the more likely receiver to be traded.
If Ayuk could be had for 33, I know we had some of those conversations. I would have been all over that, but I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, no way you get an all-pro receiver for a second-round pick.
Ayuk was ridiculous last season, and so we'll see if Debo goes on the move. A couple of other texts we can get to real quickly. Trophy Husband says the Falcons could do the funniest thing ever and draft Spencer Rattler. Yeah, just keep adding them. Keep going after all the quarterbacks. Big Cat Dan said, smart move getting Leggett. We lost a fifth, but we did gain a sixth. Yes, that's, again, just you didn't lose a pick. You just lost 59 spots with that pick. And then Brian saying, a Panthers coach that can fully utilize the strengths of his players. I never knew this day would come. It's been a while. It's been a while, but Dave Canales comforting us.
704-980. Let's go.
Get out of here. Get out of here, Matt. It's not your day. You know what? Is Matt somewhere right now saying, I always like Leggett? You know, yeah. I knew he was going
to
be a stud.
Try to take credit somehow.
A couple of years ago when Leggett was only going for 200 yards, 300 yards a season, I knew. Yep. There was something special with him. Mm-hmm. But all my scouts told me, no. The guy's only got 200 receiving yards. He's not going to be special. I'm sure Matt Rhule is taking credit out there somewhere. All right, let's get to the draft day dubs, shall we? The second edition. It's always good when you can have more dubs in a week. Let's roll with the who, Wes. I'll start with you first. Who was your favorite pick of the first round when you start to look at all of the 32 selections? No, you can't go Ricky Pearsall. Don't give me that.
I was not.
Who's your favorite pick?
I'm going to go with Graham Barton from Duke. Going to Tampa Bay. Centers are a position. We saw the percentages. They're one of the best hits in the draft when you talk about success rate. I was a big fan of Graham Barton coming into the college football season and to see what he could possibly bring, some stability to that Tampa Bay offensive line. Plus, for the Duke program, getting a first rounder. That's probably their first one. And since Daniel Jones, and then before Daniel Jones, it was a bit of a while before they had a first round pick, man. So I'd like to see that for that program and for Graham Barton.
Graham Barton was going to be my answer too. Graham Barton, I thought at Miami would have been perfect. And then they went and got Chop Robinson, who's the athletic freak that doesn't have a lot of production in college. Yeah. He said it was his hand placement as to why he didn't get so many sacks, and he's fixed that, and now he's going to work on it in the NFL. Okay, we'll see. And they definitely need a lot of edge rushers. Miami has been dealt a terrible, terrible hand in the luck department at edge rusher, but I thought Graham Barton was a perfect fit for Miami. That athleticism, getting out, blocking for Raheem Mostert, yeah. Especially the creativity with McDaniel. I was like, okay, here we go. A beautiful move. And they get Chopped. So once he fell, then I thought the Cowboys were going to get him. Everybody was so happy. All the Dallas fans were great. You lose Travis Frederick. We also lost our starting center this past year. Let's go get Graham Barton. And then they continue to trade back, and they end up with an offensive lineman in Tyler Guyton. But I thought Graham Barton falling to Tampa was a perfect case scenario for them, and they capitalized on it. And I hate it, Wes, because the other move I could go with, just to differ it a little bit, Fuaga.
Oh, yeah. I've been a big fan of his throughout the process. So, yeah, that big nasty.
Mel Kiper.
Joker.
I think maybe it was Fatanu to Pittsburgh. He said he was absolutely going to be a Pro Bowler. But I like Fuaga going to New Orleans as well. I think there were three teams in the NFC South last night that did an excellent job with their first round picks. And then there's one with the what question. What pick defined the draft last night?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really anything we can differ on here. Michael Penix, quarterback from Washington, going to Atlanta. To me, that pick defined how the rest of that draft played out. Because everything else was chalk. if you want to say maybe Drake May going at number three finally made everybody understand how the first eight picks were going to fall, or the first seven picks, cool. But Michael Penix going at number eight, one of the more shocking moves I can remember in a while. The fact that they paid Kirk Cousins all that money, and then they draft somebody that you actually hope does not play for, what, at least the next couple of years with how much you're paying to your starting quarterback, and then Terry Fontenot having to explain it to his owner, Arthur Blank, and then doing a terrible job explaining it to the media. Hey, if Michael Penix doesn't play for the first 4 or 5 years, it means we're great at that position. Wes, it did not sound good or comforting for Falcons fans as to why they drafted Michael Penix at 8 overall.
Yeah, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction, though, because I'm going to say the pick that defines the draft, in my opinion, was Latu going at 15 to UCLA. Why do I say that? Because it was an NFL draft record, 20 offensive players taken in the first round, and you didn't have a defensive player selected until 15th. And normally in most drafts, you get a defensive player in the top five or no more than the top 10. Are we going to have to wait to hear a defensive player have his name called? So I think when you look at the league and the way that it was almost like a shift in philosophy, it's like defense is valued, sure. But for this draft to be so littered with offensive talent in the first round that we had to wait 15 picks and then you get 20 of the 32 being offensive players, that was amazing last night. So I thought that that was just a sign of the times where we are in the league. And if people want to start using those phrases, offensive league or whatever they want to say about it, we saw that demonstrated last night with this draft and the way it played out. Heavy on the offensive players.
I do think it was a perfect storm just because it was more offensive laden in this draft as far as your strengths anyway, the three wide receivers, all the offensive linemen, the quarterbacks that were going so much at the beginning. Latu is somebody that fell, would have been selected higher had he not had the neck issues, or he would have been a top 10 pick. So I do think it was a perfect storm, but you're right. Lots of offensive players going, a record-breaking moment for the NFL draft. Let's go to the where, the who, the what, now the where. Wes, we'll start with you again. Where do you think the Carolina Panthers are going to go at 39? It could be a player or just a position, whatever you want to roll with.
It is anybody's guess to me, but I would say with Jackson Powers Johnson still on the board, if he's able to last in them, I'm going to go center with their first selection today.
Would love the pick. I think a lot of people would be on board with Jackson Powers Johnson being that guy at 39. Another one to me, this is, I think, the single most surprising player that fell out of the first round. I didn't see Cooper DeJean falling out of the first round many times at all. I can't remember really one mock draft that had him fall out of the first round. I saw him in the 20s, but I didn't think he was going to be there for Carolina at 33. And now, if there's a shot that Carolina can select him at 39, I would love that pick too. We've been talking about Mike Sanders still. We've been talking about a TJ Tampa, but that was early on. It seems like maybe he's falling a little more so. But to me, if DeJean is the pick, I'll be thrilled that way as well. Where do I think they'll go? I ultimately think they'll go with a center. I think Jackson Powers Johnson will be that guy. You have a little bit of cushion with Zach Frazier too, so you have your insurance policy if you want it. If I had to guess, I would go center, but there's some cornerbacks here as well that we know that they've been linked to that they really like. Let's go to the win. When did you get nervous about Leggett's availability? I never got too nervous about it, but I knew the run on wide receivers was going to hit once Jacksonville was going to select. That one seemed pretty easy at the time. Once Jacksonville actually traded back with Minnesota, the Vikings move up to go get edge rusher Dallas Turner. So they move back. Brian Thomas falls to him. Thought that was a perfect pick. Love it. I know that he needs to work on his releases. You're talking about some route running stuff with him as well. But that's a freak athlete. 17 touchdowns last year. Cool. Go get him, Jacksonville. I thought Xavier Worthy was going to be gone. There was no way in the world he was going to last past Kansas City. So even if you might be one pick away with the original draft layout, I never thought Worthy was going to be there for Carolina at 33 because Kansas City was going to take him. And they trade up for him. So around that time, I was like, okay, we'll see where the options are. I was really interested in Ladd McConkey because I didn't think Pearsall was going to go last night. I thought McConkey was going to find a way to get to the first round with how many people liked him. So I thought McConkey would be off the board. I'd like my pick at the litter there. And Carolina eventually still did, between Leggett and McConkey, and sure enough, it was Leggett. Did you ever get nervous about his availability?
No, I thought that he was going to be sitting there when the day two began, so I never thought that he was going to be gone. And then when the Panthers traded back up, frankly, I still wondered who it was going to be to an extent. I was like, man, are they going to go with Leggett, or is there somebody that has dropped that they're really looking for and saying, we're going to go get this guy? But no, I was never really nervous that he was not going to be there.
Mo City Jacker says, Wes, I like JPJ at 39 as well. Our guy Brian also writing in, I wouldn't be mad at JPJ, Zach Frazier, Edrin Cooper, DeJean, or even another receiver at 39. Does it feel like that's off of the table, going wide receiver, back-to-back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do here? Because as I said, if they take two wide receivers, that means Mingo, they might as well go ahead and put him on the chopping block. It's a wrap for you if they draft two wide receivers.
Simon says, I love JPJ. Kool-Aid McKinstry, still available. You also have Fisk, Braden Fisk, or Cooper at 39, otherwise trade back. So those are some of the other answers coming in on the FanDuel text line. Let's finish the dubs in just a moment. We have the when. When did you get nervous about his availability? Now we have the why. Why do you love or hate this trade up as opposed to recent trades in the draft? Because it's one spot. When we talk about trading up, we usually don't talk about it in terms of just trading up one spot. When I talk about trading up, I'm talking about moving up, what, five or more picks, and you're starting to lose some real assets there. So I don't want to get rid of a third round pick or a second round pick to move up 5, 10, 12, whatever the sample size was in my head. It's never one. I never think people really talk about trading up just one spot to go land your guy. So if you're talking about a fifth round pick for a sixth round pick exchange, that's why I like this one better. Plus, you do get the added benefit of having the fifth year option, something you did not have access to in the second round. So if you were talking about trading up with just in other rounds, then there's not another incentive. It's the same rules, right? Whereas you move up one slot, you get your fifth round, you get your fifth year option. That's the reason why I'm okay with this trade up. I don't love it, but I'm okay with this as compared to if they would have given up a lot to go get Leggett. Like if they go move up with Buffalo at 28 instead of where they went to at 32, and then you're giving up real assets, Wes, I'd have a different tune today. I would not be liking that nearly as much.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to give you two sides of it, you know, why you would love it is because your team has the gumption to go up and get their guy, and they're in their convictions about who it is that they want and what they feel like that he can do for their team. Why you would maybe hate it is for those out there who are not necessarily Xavier Leggett fans, that they feel like there were better receiving options available on the board. A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, these were all guys that we had seen mocked higher than Xavier Leggett throughout most of the process. You did see some with Leggett ahead of some of those guys, but for the guys out there who are not a fan of this trade, they said, well, you know, you traded up to get this guy. Maybe they felt like it was a bit of a reach.
Feel free to text in on the FanDuel text line. Continue to help us out with this NFL draft and how to make sense of it. 704-570-9610. That'll do it for the draft day dubs. I did tell the people that I had a comparison for Xavier Leggett. I don't think we're talking enough about. Everybody loves the DK Metcalf comparison. Do we have that sound, Fitty, ready to go? I don't know if we put it in, but I know Dave Canales was asked about specifically a DK Metcalf comparison because Dave was there in Seattle. Makes sense. Tall, strong, crazy fast 40. And Dave said, when asked about that comparison, he's like, I guess a little bit, but I don't see too many similarities.
Other than big fast guy, you know, it's a different player. It's a different type of player. I don't really want to get into too much of the comparisons, but I definitely do see just, you know, some of the physical traits. You know, this is a rare combination of athletic ability.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Everybody loved going with the DK Metcalf comparison, but Canales sees something different, which is notable. That's notable to me. I like a DJ Moore comparison. The body types are different. Xavier Leggett is 6'3", 230. DJ Moore came in, and he's also listed at like 6'3", 6'1". I've seen different things there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look crazy tall, but whatever. DJ Moore came in at about 6 foot. He's shorter. He doesn't have the same type of frame. But the bodies are the same. Both of these guys are muscular, real cut. DJ Moore would punish you with a stiff arm. Like, that was as physical a wide receiver, certainly in that draft. Leggett, yards after the catch, that's his strong suit. You have DJ Moore, that's also his strong suit. Going deep, we saw DJ Moore's versatility in that regard. When Robbie Anderson came over, we thought Robbie Anderson was going to be the deep threat, Wes. Mm-hmm. And instead, he was the possession receiver, and DJ Moore was the deep threat. The A-dot for him was much different than it was in the years 2 and 3 with the Carolina Panthers. If you look up their stats, DJ didn't have as little production as Leggett his first couple years with his program. He had 637 yards in 2016 with Maryland, but then boom, shoots up 2017 with over 1,000, 8 touchdowns. And you see with Leggett, boom, last year, over 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. I just think with these guys, also DJ Moore was criticized for his lack of separation, much like Leggett is. You're talking about guys that don't have a lot of polish. Curtis Samuel was viewed as the separator, dude that gets open. DJ Moore was the guy, let's give him the football and see if he can just destroy guys on their way to the end zone. I view a lot of the similarities here with Leggett, and I don't think we've talked about it because we usually want to put you with the comparison that matches your body type. Mm-hmm. Wes, their skill set is very, very similar once you start to dig in the tape.
Yeah, I can see that. And when you look at his official height from the NFL Combine, it was at 6'1".
So even closer.
But I think that, you know, and you talk about the body types because I felt like that DJ Moore was built more like the Steve Smith type with the bigger lower body and the legs and the thighs and, you know, the way that they play. Skill set, though, that's an interesting comparison. I haven't really given much thought to who Leggett compares to, but I just know that, again, like I said, this is a guy that when you look at all of his attributes and the athleticism, I mean, there's a lot there that Canales can use. And I know that he talked about using him very similarly to Mike Evans.
Yeah, that's what Leggett told us. Yeah.
So that's the interesting part there. Not quite as tall as Mike Evans, but I think this could be a guy. You heard Dan Morgan talk about tracking of the ball in the air and all those types of things, and those are the things that Mike Evans specializes in. You know, he's arguably the best 50-50 ball receiver in the game. He's one of them, and so hopefully that's what Leggett will provide as well.
And Leggett, I think, was credited with only 2 drops on 97 targets, if I'm not mistaken, last year, but also had some drop problems before that, and that's what hurt him from being real effective. DJ Moore had some drop problems. Mm-hmm. I actually was kind of surprised. I thought, okay, well, I could see some similarities, and then I start to dig deeper. I saw a lot of similarities between these two players. Do we have time for a Fitty Flash? Let's do it. What you got, Fitty?
It's all right to be a little
Fitty.
A little hometown or a big old city. Might as well share, might as well smile. Life goes on for a little
Fitty.
While.
Y'all may have been busy watching and taking in the NFL draft. I was busy watching the Charlotte Checkers earn a 2-1 win over the Hartford Wolfpack in the opening round of the Calder Cup playoffs. They scored a shorthanded goal in the third period to take the lead and go on to earn the win. They'll be back at home Saturday at 4 p.m. with a chance to wrap up the best of 3 series. And just got to say, Flounder, myself, and NASCAR Brad, along with an appearance made by Shroppy, fun night out at the Bowplex, and it was good to see the hometown Checkers get the dub.
We have not NASCAR Brad a part of the show. We have NASCAR Wes today a part of the show. Check out the trip. Wes and Walker timeline. Wes Bryant_72. The shirt is amazing, and it's absolutely something I'd wear the hell out of.
A little $8 tee from Walmart, you know?
So Wes, Wes is repping Dale Earnhardt today, the Intimidator, in what is a great graphic on the front of his t-shirt. And he even saved more money than he did at T Public, spending only $8 on that thing.
Can't beat it, man. Every time I go to Walmart, I stop by the t-shirt section.
And Fitty tried to hate on your fashion yesterday.
It's
a damn shame.
I'll leave it alone. I love Fitty. He's the best producer ever. You know, he deserves nothing but the highest of praises.
Turning over a new leaf. We'll see if that helps you with the prospect duels. I catch on now. It's coming up next. Wes and Walker, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey,
It's Wes and Walker, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. So with the prospect duels, it's a big one, and we're already a little disorganized. I'm only going to give everybody the full secret like Xavier Legere. This is a wee type of show.
I did that for 50 because he wanted me to do that.
You know, if I have to fall, then I'm taking you down with me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyways, we're a little bit disorganized because we have to invite one other prospect to the duels. He might show up a little bit late. Not a great start for him, to be honest with you. And what is the final meeting to see who actually wins this thing? So the sales pitch is going to have to be excellent, and it might even have to be excellent on the fly. And so we'll see who wins. It's all tied up. Five apiece. The last edition of the prospect duels begins now.
I challenge you to a duel.
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
Choose your fighter.
Well, this guy, he might be late just because, you know, he's trying to figure out who he wants to be in life. But I might be a little bit late because I'm too busy counting up all the trophies in my room and the accolades that I acquired while I was in college. I'm a big cornerback, 6'1", 205 pounds. I know you like that. The last guy you had in my position, he was a little guy. He went 5'10", 180. I know you like that size, thinking about me and J.C. Horn out there, two corners, over 6 feet, over 200 pounds. I mean, man, just think about how much that would improve your run defense. Let me just start right there. Last cornerback you had a 52.3 grade in run defense for your team last year. But me, you know, I was around 78.6. So that means I like to come up and I like to hit. But then when it's time to get after that football, I do that as good as anybody. I was second team All-Conference in 2022. And then in 2023, I got even better. First team AP All-American. I was a defensive back of the year in my conference, return specialist of the year, first team All-Conference after coming off a season where I had 5 interceptions and 8 pass breakups. I was a finalist for the Jim Thorpe Award, the Nagurski Award, and I had 41 tackles, 2 interceptions, and 5 pass breakups because teams just didn't want to throw my way. But then I can also get it in the return game as well. I can get the fans on their seats. You're talking about versatility. I'm a complete corner. I'm not just a corner that's out there to look pretty and bat down balls and try to catch interceptions when I can. I'm going to come up and hit. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to track that football down in the sky. And oh yeah, if you need me to really get the crowd jumping in Bank of America Stadium, put me back there in the return game and watch what I can do. So I can make plays for you to get points on the board and to take points away from the opposing offense. So you let me know what you're trying to do, because last time I checked, me and J.C. Horn, we're going to lock down the NFC South. Out.
All right, okay, we got a position battle now. And if you like return men, you know, I was 5th in the FBS in return yards at 11.3 per return, 418 punt return yards. Like the return game, that comes secondary. But if you want me to do it, I'm one of the best in college football last year. Plus, I'm a disciplined cover corner. I'm a guy that did not commit one single penalty, not one, in 2023. Dan, you know how bad that messed up the Carolina Panthers last year, one of the most penalized teams in all of football. You're not going to be seeing that from me. I can provide depth for you at an important position, but also I can be smart. I'm known for my high IQ, and I played with one of the best coaches in college football history who has coached talented and Hall of Fame level defensive backs before. I'm a long, smooth athlete. All my measurables are up to par. 6 feet, 200, perfect size for a corner that can just match up with whoever you want me to with my agility as well. And with me being such a smooth, strong, and very smart athlete, having tons and tons of experience, I'm the guy that you need to roll with. Plus my trophy room, it's filled up too. I got a first-team All-American nod in 2023. I got a first-team All-SEC nod in 2023. I did the same thing in 2022. So I'm not one of these Leggett guys that only has the 1 year of production like you drafted in the first round.
Knocking the guy that you picked last night, huh?
But it's because I'm a dog and I'm going to cover him in practice. See, I bring the competitive spirit the entire time. I got 2 years of experience and reaching those accolades. If you want a good corner, then take this guy. That was a little late to the prospect duel. What you got, Dan? 39 wow. Overall. Who you going with?
Well, look, I value y'all because I'm missing my first round draft picks introductory press conference to the media. That says a lot about both of you young men.
Oh, thank you, Dan.
After a night where I worked deep into the night, did not get any sleep, did not get a chance to take a shower, let alone get some food or some drinks to energize me for what's going to be an even busier day. Nothing?
What?
Nothing? Okay.
You thought we were going to pull it out of the book bag like last year?
Look, I didn't know if someone had a trick up their sleeve. Maybe, you know, just something to maybe persuade me in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I know who Walker is.
Okay.
But Walker never introduced his prospect to the GM of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, yeah, this is part of the blind resume test. The only reason that we tell you who our prospects are is so we don't do the same one. And while it got a little dicey, we ended up not doing the same one. So it served its purpose.
You would think that would put him at a negative disadvantage. And you'd be correct.
Terrible.
But we haven't seen the type of player that Wes's prospect prosper in the NFL in over two decades. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
What, corner? You're talking about corner? Okay.
And the fact that I'm white?
Yeah, I see what you care about now.
Oh, okay.
I see what type of party. Playing corner, going up against Xavier LeGuin in practice. Walker, it better be Kool-Aid McKinstry. You win 6-5.
That's trash.
You're trash.
That's super trash.
You ain't got that dog.
Nobody respects
you. You played at Iowa.
Yes.
That's trash.
I respect it. I get the win. A prospect dual championship.
Racial discrimination.
You blew a 3-1 lead.
You did just racial discrimination. That's what you did.
I thought he was going to pick. Well, what would have been a real problem if he was going to say that we haven't seen a player like you in a couple of decades, but then picked you because of that? I think that would have been worse. Yeah. Either way, it's messy all around.
Reverse psychology.
But it would have been a terrible pick had you done that based off of that. So you might have even saved yourself a little bit. But I will take the win. If it means putting another trophy in my already very decorated trophy room, yeah. Prospect dual championship, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Quarterback out of Alabama, a little late to the party, but he does party when he gets there. Wear the championship belt, walking out a member of the Panthers. That'll do it for a 2-week-long session of the prospect duels. Cooper, man, Cooper DeJean, I like him, but I don't know, losing this, he seems like a sore loser, Cooper DeJean is, man.
It's big trash. Like, it's so obvious
something
why he didn't
did a lot
pick
of while
him.
He was at Iowa.
Super so. Trash, man.
Makes a lot of sense.
Stop. No respect for that judgment. Moving Dan on, next fired. Segment, Campus Corner.
Campus Corner, coming up next, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.